The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were accustomed to fast. People came to Jesus and objected. Why do the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered them, can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunken cloth on an old cloak. If he does, its fullness pulls away the new from the old, and the tear gets worse. Likewise, no one pours new wine into old wine skins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the skins are ruined. Rather, new wine is poured into fresh wine skins. The Gospel of the Lord. Good soul once again. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy snowy morning to everybody. Give a little thought now to help you receive the Eucharist better. Because you deserve it for having made all this effort to come in the ice and in the snow. Now, when these disciples of John and of the Pharisees, and they came to Jesus and they asked, hey, you know, why don't your disciples fast? Everybody else fasts. Why don't you fast? You know, they asked a very, very fair and valid question. The reason is because all the devout Jewish people fasted twice a week, Wednesdays and Fridays. They fasted on bread and water, and this was to commemorate the 2 days that Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive the law from God. And when he did, he fasted on bread and water. So Jews always fasted, Wednesdays and Fridays. Perfectly fair question. What's the matter with your disciples? They're not fasting. Well, turns out Jesus has the best of all possible answers, because there was one time and one time only when the Jewish people did not fast during the week, and that was during a wedding ceremony. 7 days long a Jewish wedding ceremony was. You might have heard that before, and nobody fasted, right? Nobody gonna fast during a wedding ceremony. Now, in the Old Testament, God made it clear that he was going to be a spouse to his people. Prophet Hosea said so. Prophet Isaiah said so. The Psalms said so. God wasn't just going to be the God of his people. God wasn't just going to be the father to his people. But he said that he was going to espouse his people. So when Jesus says, how can the wedding guests fast as long as the groom is in the room? Who does he say that he is at that moment? Who's he saying that he is? He's saying he's God. Now, let's talk about just that and some of the huge differences that makes in your life. Big stuff to pray about. Here's the first difference that it makes in your life. It gives you your life's mission. You know, when a man marries a lady, he has an entire life's mission, doesn't he? He belongs to her, doesn't he? And she belongs to him. This is God's own statement of his identity towards you. And if you ever wonder who you are in relationship to God, behold your identity. You are his very own. That's the first big difference this makes. Here's the second. When a man marries a lady, he marries an equal, doesn't he? And if she's not his equal, she becomes his equal. Great example to think about that. Think about the story of Cinderella. Here's poor Cinderella, dressed in rags, covered in ashes, tattered, little pauper of a lady, right? Yeah, right. Until she marries the prince. Moment she marries the prince, she becomes royalty, doesn't she? She gets raised up, because you always marry an equal. Now, just as an aside, you ever wonder why our church honors St. Joseph so highly? It's because he's a spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And because people always marry an equal. Now, all the holy things you say about the Blessed Virgin Mary, you better be prepared to say something in the ballpark of that about Joseph, or else Joseph isn't good enough to be your spouse. So what God says to you here, he says, I'm going to raise you up to be my equal. And if that sounds extreme to you, you haven't thought about your baptism enough. Because that's exactly what baptism does. In baptism, you take on God's own nature. You're raised up to his own level. You participate in the very inner life of the Trinity. If this hasn't manifested itself in your life yet, continue to cooperate with grace. You'll see it more and more. And I absolutely guarantee you that it will manifest itself to you after you've died. This is what God intends to do to us. This is what St. Paul means when he says, anyone who is in Christ Jesus is a brand new creation. Now, down through the ages, people have always said, God is great, God is great. Nobody's ever said anything like this about God before, never. That's the new wine, so to speak. And your soul are the wine skins. Your soul is the container that holds this. But let me throw one more great implication of this spousal union out to you, just for you to consider. And it's the difference Christianity makes in society. You know, as society drifts further and further away from God, people begin to ask the question, what difference does Christianity make? Do we even need the church? Do we even need Christ? I mean, we've got social service agencies. They do all kinds of good work. We don't need the church anymore. And we've got science. Science figures out all kinds of interesting mysteries that nobody knew before. And yeah, we've got that. Who needs God? What difference does Christianity make? You know what the answer is? The difference is God. The difference is the spousal relationship that God has with your soul and the transformative nature this has not only to your life, but to everybody else's life as well. For decades and decades and decades, people have made the following statement. They've said, I don't need God to be a good person. That's what they've said for decades. You know what's interesting about that statement? I can be a good person, I don't need God. What's interesting about it is that it's only true in as much as the behavior of an unbeliever mirrors the behavior of somebody who does believe, whether people know it or not. They've ingested centuries of Christian behavior into society and into their own behavior. And as society drifts further and further away from Christian belief, it's going to drift further and further away from Christian morality. And you're already beginning to see it, aren't you? Paganism is cruel. It holds absolutely nothing sacred. It cares only about power and the execution of power over other persons. What difference does Christianity make in the world? This spousal relationship between God and the soul allows us to hold fast to what's sacred, to treat one another with love as brothers and sisters. It's what makes us the light of the world. It's what makes life worth living. It's what St. Paul meant when he said to the Corinthians, you know, if I do all these great works, if I hand over my body to be burned, but I don't have love, I got nothing. Got nothing at all. So a few things for you to pray about there when Jesus tells you what it means that he intends to make you his spouse. May that spousal love shine through all of our lives. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Anthony, pray for us.